You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, December 11th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Republican Senator Shelby won't vote for Roy Moore. But what will the majority of Alabamians do? Certainly know what's going to happen to those who don't have a driver's license. Meanwhile, Republicans scramble to pass a tax bill which has the lowest public support of any major piece of legislation since before everyone in this office except for me was born. Also on the program today, wildfires continue to rage in Southern California, a bomb in New York City. White House quickly planning to assault what's left of the welfare state. Tomorrow we'll see a massive internet protest before the FCC votes to repeal net neutrality later in the week. 21 kids are suing Donald Trump over climate change. Mueller's looking at the last those final 18 days of Michael Flynn. And fentanyl gets an off-label indication. It's now being used as a capital punishment lethal injection in two states. Trump's sexual harassees on TV this week, and Nikki Haley just got herself maybe fired. Lastly, the Pentagon says U.S. will stay in Syria for as long as they want. All this and more on today's program. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Just about getting into regularly scheduled programming and a little sense of normalcy around here. The interview requests have stopped to a trickle. Everyone's gone away. I'm just all alone by myself now, not constantly really? Harassed by Twitters.
You consider yourself alone when you're with us.
I'm interesting. Yes, I'm like in my own little bubble.
Well, that is true. That is very true.
Let me just say, lastly, again, to thank you folks in my audience. I cannot express how gratifying it was to see you guys just out there fighting on my behalf, and also the information that you provided me about Cernovich that I was able to use in interviews and spread. I don't know if you caught the On the Media interview with Bob Garfield this
so
week.
Good.
It was fantastic. And it was only because of stuff that you guys had tweeted out, you sent me, that I was able to go in there with that interview and prepare him in a way that he was able to approach Cernovich. So thank you for all of that. Thank you for all the support. Thanks for the new members. And I have literally about 1,000 emails to respond to. Give me just a couple more days. I need to go through these things. So many things that we had to put on the back burner here, the website, the rollout, a bunch of stuff. So we're just playing catch up. But I wanted to thank you again. Really just incredibly gratifying. Later in the program, I will also, you can't see it because I've planted it off camera, but there's something hanging behind me that I'm going to reveal in the fun half of the program, and then we'll talk about how I'm going to deal with it. I received a gift from one of our regular callers that is I mean, I'd say it's disturbing, right? I mean, it's going to be really upsetting when I wear this.
At the very least.
But
Jesus Christ.
He knows who he is.
And the most Gentile thing you've ever done.
I mean, it's even beyond that. But we'll see.
It's deep into it is more like it.
It's not a Santa Claus outfit. Also, just want to remind you, speaking of Santa Claus, you have 4 more days to get that Just Coffee deal, MR Holiday. Use the coupon code at justcoffee.coop and you get 30% off, and they will send you a and they'll send it to you for free. 30% off your coffee. They were also, I mean, just incredibly helpful as I, you know, sat down this weekend to sort of just write myself a little journal as to what happened. They, by contacting us, you know, got me to make a video to just sort of put out a statement because I understood what was going on, and that made a big difference too. So they were very helpful, and I'm super appreciative to have, you know, advertisers who are sort of movement advertisers. So thank you for that. All right, I want to go through a couple of things that's going on. Obviously, and I did Alabama radio today, Alabamian radio, I think you would say.
No, not at all. You will not be doing Alabama radio again.
Not at all. It was ostensibly about the what happened with MSNBC, but I couldn't help myself, and so I sort of veered into Roy Moore territory. So we talked about that. And I do want to remind everybody, these accusations from the 7 women in Alabama are all allegations that seem to be incredibly well substantiated with physical evidence and testimony from people who have no political axe to grind.
Did you tell them the truth, though?
What's that?
That, bizarrely enough, a lot of secular Jewish liberals in New York think Roy Moore should be in the Senate.
That
they ought to really take a serious look. And that's kind of unconventional trailblazer that, even though we have disagreements, we'd like to see there.
He did ask me, as a guy from outside of Alabama who is a liberal, what do you want to tell Alabamians to do? And I didn't quite bite on that. I said they should listen to their senator, Shelby, who's telling them that he couldn't vote for. But okay, let's listen to, speaking of Roy Moore voters, Frank Luntz, the ethically and follically challenged former Republican pollster, now sometimes Republican pollster, finally got out of his apartment at the beginning of the year after gorging himself with pasta, according to pieces that were written about him. And he went down to Alabama to get a real take on why people would vote for someone who, it really appears, was a predator of children back in the day. They're good musicians. They're playing.
Christians? Here
we go.
Yes.
Is Roy Moore a good Christian?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely?
Yes.
Without any doubt whatsoever.
I do not know necessarily. Let me ask you this.
Nobody's perfect. Please explain, nobody's perfect when you look at the things that he has been accused of.
Is not found guilty.
I want to know.
Just because I don't go to church every time the doors are open doesn't mean I don't believe. And God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he does expect us to try and repent of our sins.
He's not my choice. I'm not voting for him because I like him. I'm voting for him because I don't want Doug Jones. But Roy Moore is entitled to the presumption of innocence in the law and in the Bible, just like anybody else should be. They're only accusations. There have been no charges filed. All you have is a group of women that have come forward and said...
How many?
7.
More.
No, there's really 3.
Higher. How many women have to come forward before you say, wait a minute, Where there's smoke, there's fire.
It doesn't matter about legitimacy, not just how many. Exactly. How many are actually not being paid or being coerced to do this?
How many of them do you think are being paid?
All of them.
All of them?
All of them.
By show of hands, how many of you think all the women are being paid? Seriously.
Pause it. Let me just say that for those who are just listening, half the people believe the women are being paid. I mean, here's the thing is that, you know, we... The level of fake narrative, and this is going to go towards what we're going to be talking about a little bit today. The endless assault on our institutions, on just reality, whether it goes from the idea of climate change to singling out Dave Weigel on Twitter because he posted a wrong picture. I mean, on and on. This is what leaves the door open. When you have these people who get up in the morning, they listen to maybe the guy in Huntsville I talked to today, then it rolls into Limbaugh, then it rolls into Hannity. Then they watch their Sinclair Media show, and then they look at Fox. They have a completely different narrative. They read Gateway Pundit and Breitbart. A completely different sense of what is real.
Two women that maybe have a smoking gun, but, you know, the women's reputations were questionable at the time.
Is this how you want to be treated?
Pause it for a second. Now, wait a second. So there may be two women who have a smoking gun, and their reputations were questionable at the time. So it's not so much that we don't believe he did it. It's that maybe these young girls had it coming by being so young and so available to the district attorney.
Questionable at the time.
Is this how you want to be treated as a woman if something were to happen to you? Do you want to be dismissed that way?
Better have proof.
You know, it doesn't sound like it went beyond... There were still clothes on. It doesn't sound like it went beyond anything. And that as soon as the girl said she wasn't comfortable, he took her home.
I guess my question is, you blame her. She's 14.
I'm not blaming her. I'm blaming both of them. So I didn't say that I thought he was without sin. It's possible he did it, but it's possible that he could be forgiven for... I don't think he raped her.
Let's be real. It was a different world. 40 years ago in Alabama, people could get married at 13 and 14 years old. My grandmother at 13 was married. At 15, had two children and a husband and a job. If Roy Moore was guilty, if he was at the mall hitting on this 14-year-old, 40 years ago in Alabama, there's a lot of mamas and daddies that'd be thrilled that their 14-year-old was getting hit on by a district attorney.
I bet he
now,
still hopes he lived
folks,
in that world.
At the risk of getting embroiled in one more controversy, let me just say that I want to echo that man's sentiments. That, of course, if my daughter, when she is 14, is to be hit on
what the
by an
you
older
just
man,
cannot
hold
control
on.
Yourself.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm just echoing this guy's sentiments. If she's to be hit on by older men, I would prefer that he be a district attorney. That's all I'm saying. At least be a lawyer. At least be a professional. That's all I want.
Who's laughing not now, Sam?
Not a tradesperson.
You're really tempting fate.
All I'm saying is that if my 14-year-old's going to get hit on the mall, I don't want it to be by a tradesperson. I want it to be by a professional. Is that
next,
so wrong?
Next on the media
like
appearance.
Like
you're really making a habit of this, Sam, aren't you?
Like an architect or a doctor, you know. Somebody who can help the family. You know, if you're an attorney, I would prefer someone
get out
who
of like a criminal situation as an example.
Someone who works with contracts might be nice. We could use that.
Oh, yeah, we all could.
Yeah, and I mean, why not? So, I mean, that's what's going on
so
in
he
Alabama.
Basically talked you down out of that joke off of Twitter earlier.
And but I didn't do it on Twitter. But it was the perfect context.
Yeah, no, it was a good. Right?
It was the perfect context. Like a kid all right, but look.
I'm going to tell my joke.
Here's,
it's satire time.
Here's another thing. So we've watched that video. We've watched that video about the Roy Moore supporters who can come up with any way to twist their morality, to twist their reasoning into saying it's okay for me to vote for someone who is been alleged to at least of by seven women to have been a predator of young girls. And the real issue in this race in terms of electorally is what's going to happen is it's all going to be based on turnout. And about 27% of the electorate is African-American in Alabama. And so it is a huge imperative for Doug Jones to rally the African-American vote. This is why, and this is a fairly straightforward calculation. This is why in 2011, in Shelby County, Alabama, versus Holder, the Supreme Court, at a 5-4 decision, gutted a key provision of the Voting Rights Act, which was how preclearance provisions were calculated. In other words, there was about 12 states, maybe 18 counties around the country, including Queens was one of those counties, where if there was any change in the methodology of voting or determining who was eligible to vote, that county or that state had to go to the Department of Justice and essentially apply for permission to change it because of a history of racial discrimination when it comes to voting. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, gutted that provision, even though it had been reauthorized by the Senate 4 years earlier, because they thought there was too much pressure on the Senate to reauthorize because nobody wants to be seen as a bigot. I think Anthony Kennedy said that he thought that there was no more racism, more or less, to deal with.
I thought it was a thing of the past.
Hours after that, the Alabama and a whole series of states across the country imposed new voting restrictions. In this instance, a very, very narrow set of voter IDs were allowed for voting in that state. Here's a couple of facts so that you understand the implications of this. 62% of Alabama's black citizens depend on public transportation versus 34% of whites, which means that only 38% of blacks in Alabama need to have a driver's license to get around. Alabama has recently shuttered 31 driver's license offices in that state. And apparently, in every single county where black people make up more than 75% of registered voters, their driver's license office has been closed. So they're going to have to take public transportation to go to a different county to get a driver's license. This is voter suppression. I mean, and we've seen it. Look, we've seen it in Wisconsin. We've seen it in North Carolina. We've seen it all around the country. But this is what the challenge is to mobilize people to go out and vote when it's very difficult for them to actually even cast a ballot. And this is the implications of, this is why one Supreme Court justice makes a world of difference. Merrick Garland wouldn't have been my pick. Merrick Garland would have been one vote that may have had them revisit Shelby v. Holder because it was a joke of a ruling. And this is we're going to see this play out in state after state after state. We saw it in Wisconsin in this past election. See it in North Carolina. We're going to see it all across the country. and they're going to continue to do this. It's just unbelievable. Meanwhile, when you talk about the attack on the institution of voting, essentially, right? I mean, that's what that is. There's been a relentless attack by the Republicans on the idea of democracy. If you look into what's going on in our government right now, we have some pretty important government agencies, it turns out. We've talked about what happened on the census, to the Census Bureau, right? The guy they appointed to the to run the Census Bureau has no history of running anything large, any large organization. Has a book called "Why Elections Should Not Be Challenged." In other words, there shouldn't be competitive elections. I think that's the title of the book. Competitive elections are bad.
Is that? I don't think that's literally the title.
I think that's
that is the
super
thesis.
Close to the literal title. Against competitive elections.
I have no background in running organizations, but I do theorize about voter suppression.
Exactly.
I will take my job now.
Exactly. There's also an attempt. We've seen the assault on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The head of the Consumer Safety Board is a woman named Anne Marie Burkle. She was a commissioner. She's now the chair. In her more than 4 years on the Consumer Product Safety Commission, Burkle has opposed limiting dangerous carbon monoxide emissions in portable generators. Shall I repeat that? She's opposed limiting carbon monoxide emissions. She has resisted requiring safety technology on table saws. She has disagreed with the other Republican commissioner on the five-member board by rejecting fines against companies that delayed reporting hazards to the agencies. So in other words, oh, you found out that your toy will lop off a finger? Oh, you found out that your ladder in certain circumstances will collapse? Look, no fines for you if you're a little bit late in telling us. We're good. She is an unabashed supporter of voluntary regulations. I want to explain this very carefully. There's no such thing as voluntary regulations. She believes that collaboration with manufacturers, rather than levying fines or imposing recalls, is the fastest way to get dangerous products off the market. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Another commissioner, Joseph Mohorovic, left to join a law firm that represents the portable generator industry, which is fighting the restrictions on their products. Because you don't want to inhibit the portable generators in such a way that they don't spew carbon monoxide into your house. Because then you'd be undercutting the carbon monoxide alarm business.
And then they wouldn't have an incentive to improve their alarms.
That's right.
I just wrote a Meghan McArdle piece.
There you go. On top of this, they are assaulting the safety net. The White House apparently, and we've talked a little bit about this in the past couple of days, quietly preparing a sweeping executive order that would mandate a top-to-bottom review of federal programs on which millions of poor Americans rely. Do you think they're trying to make these programs better for folks? The USDA said it's going to give states greater control of the food stamp program so that states can drug test or provide stricter work requirements on recipients. Federal health officials are encouraging states to impose work requirements on able-bodied adults on Medicaid. This is, of course, basically forcing this into a welfare program as opposed to health insurance. The VA tried to cut homeless funding and got too much pushback. Story out in the Times today, massive story. EPA has slowed actions against polluters and put limits on enforcement officers.
It can get very invasive.
Yes.
You know.
The analysis of enforcement by the New York Times show the administration has adopted a more lenient approach than even the Bush administration. And you recall...
I'm actually literally curious. How exactly is that possible?
You basically put more restrictions on enforcement. You can't interact with these agencies. You cannot. You do not have access to this information.
Relative to Bush. Like, what safeguards did Bush still allow that these people are getting rid of?
It wasn't so much that Bush... the rollback just wasn't as great. That's all. I mean, you had a fully functioning agency that was started by a Republican. They would pass laws like the Clean Air Initiative, which literally caused multiple states, this is the Bush administration, caused multiple states to allow companies to put more mercury in the air than they were allowing at the time. In other words, states were deemed they did not have the authority to limit the mercury to the amount that they had. Republicans now are actively assaulting the American Bar Association. Why? Because the American Bar Association has deemed four of Trump's judicial nominees not qualified. Other administrations, and this is, although the Bush administration also did this, they no longer allow their candidates to be evaluated by the ABA before they're nominated. Because you wouldn't want any type of institution that has no history of partisanship to provide any type of neutral assessment of the quality of them as lawyers.
Isn't that like Rand Paul? Doesn't he have some type of medical accreditation story?
That's yes.
Somewhat analogous to that.
He doesn't like the Optometry Association right. That says that his stuff is quackery.
I can look at it.
So he started his own.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right. That's the next step.
So there are two law enforcement components of the Treasury Department. They're actually, I believe there's probably more, right? I mean, I think, isn't Secret Service under Treasury?
That's my understanding. I thought they were.
Okay, but you have the IRS and something called FinCEN, which does basically, which looks at financial illegalities, like large-scale money laundering and such. Steve Mnuchin, 9 days after the Manafort indictment, put in a new head of FinCEN, who's in charge of investigating money laundering. And then a couple days later, Mnuchin put in a new guy at the IRS. There's a full-on assault on every aspect of our government. Steve Bannon made it clear that the point of this was a deconstruction of the administrative state. But make no mistake about it, this is also... This is ideological, and it's also probably a way of avoiding specific criminal acts by the administration. Ultimately, when you talk about rolling back regulations, when you talk about inhibiting the enforcers of these regulations, you're talking about lawlessness. You're talking about trying to make that what was illegal decriminalized. Which is fine when you're talking about pot, maybe. But when it talks about, you know, making sure that companies, when they're aware of the fact that children are being, injured by their toys, people are being injured by their tools. I mean, God knows what's going on in OSHA right now. We've seen what's happened at HUD. When we get calls from a vet who is having their therapy cut back on because of assaults on the VA and on Medicaid. I mean, this is what's going on here. Some of the stuff, the suffering is immediate, and some of it takes long term before you realize what's going on. And the latest, which is much more narrowly tailored. I mean, all the things we were talking about the assault on the institutions, this is like ideological, right? Republican ideology undercut science as an institution so that scientists can never come and say, hey, tobacco causes cancer. We're killing the environment. We're destroying our climate. Opioids, if you manufacture them in a certain way, won't be addictive. People won't die. People won't get addicted. You can give them, you know, leg surgery. Go ahead. Boom.
Just do what you feel.
All of this is an ideological assault on our government and our structures. But now we have...
We need to fucking open up regulation on racketeering.
Exactly.
You're inhibiting our ability to open up a new fucking... There's money laundering. There's also loan sharking operations. I talked with fucking Steve about this. You're capping our ability to operate.
There was actually a great Sopranos episode, though, where they go to like shake down this new coffee shop that opened in like one of the neighborhoods, but it's like it's gentrifying and it's clearly like a stand-in for Starbucks or some national chain. And you know, they're leaning heavy on the manager is amazing because he's kind of like he's not disrespectful or attitudinal, but he's also just completely unintimidated by them. And he's like, look, guys, you don't understand. Like, even like you can burn this down, you can do whatever. If I gave you a penny out of the register, that's going to be tracked and processed, and this whole thing is going to be shut down. Like, this isn't how this works.
Right.
There's no cash. There's no, like, I'm a cog in a global machine, man, essentially. And they, like, and they're just like, and they get their lattes, pay for it, and they're just like, oh, what they steal from the Italian people. And then they're like, there's no room for the little guys anymore.
No. Mom and pop stores that can be intimidated are all gone away.
So that's like the real question is the Gambino family, the Bananos, are they big enough that they have enough net capital to benefit from favors of this administration? Because they might be considered like mid to small size businesses,
right,
anymore.
Too small.
Yeah. They're not Russian. They're right. Not Colombian or Mexican cartels. That's the type of business this administration wants to help.
Right. We're not going to deal with the little fish.
Yeah.
All right. So, but you have all this ideological assault on our government. Here, what we're going to see is the same modus operandi, right? I mean, Donald Trump came into office by assaulting the media in many respects. Donald Trump, incidentally, I should tell you, is not interested in genuine media reform. I hope I don't have to say that, but like, you know, anybody out there, well, the media is not great. Right. No, I get that. I also get very much that we should not trust the FBI. We should not give any type of carte blanche to any intelligence agency. They have a horrible record of abusing the civil rights of Americans in this country. That said, I don't think the Trump administration is interested in making sure that the civil rights of American citizens are being protected. I don't think that's what their criticism of the FBI is about.
Mueller is corrupt. The senior FBI is corrupt. The system is corrupt.
I think there is and has been ever since Trump was elected. A silent coup to get him out of office.
Illegitimate and corrupt. The deep state, Robert Mueller's partisan, extremely biased, hyper-partisan attack team.
Hatchet men that he's hired, Obama, Clinton supporters, have brought not a single case related to collusion.
Utter disgrace.
The deep state.
And the FBI has become America's secret police.
Now, I know these guys, I remember every one of them so upset about the spying that was happening on Americans, the expansion of our surveillance programs under the Bush and Obama years.
They must have cut out when Greg Jarrett said, rest in peace, Fred Hampton.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is what I said last week on the show. It's like, I look forward to Greg Jarrett's follow-up documentary on the FBI abated assassination of Fred Hampton and
right.
COINTELPRO and through
these guys,
the NSA spying apparatus.
To be fair to
I'm
that
sure.
guy, he was on the anniversary of the bomb in Philadelphia and the move on
the move headquarters. Yeah. Yes,
they he was very outspoken
on Greg Jarrett's Twitter bio. It says brick by brick, wall by wall, we're going to free Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Exactly.
Just basically.
Exactly. But I mean, this is understand there is a concerted effort. There's a concerted effort to undermine, and it's grown in the past couple of days. I mean, it has grown significantly.
Which means things are getting closer.
Which means that they feel like it's necessary to do this now. How do I know? Well, we hear that compilation, and then, of course, Judge Jeanine Pirro comes out. Here she is.
Who definitely does not drive under the influence ever. She doesn't do that. She's safe.
Apparently,
she obeys the law.
She met with Trump. Like, she came into the White House to talk about this with Trump.
Meets with Trump, doesn't drink and drive.
There you go.
There is a cleansing needed in our FBI and Department of Justice. It needs to be cleansed of individuals who should not just be fired, but who need to be taken out in handcuffs. Now, there have been times in our history when corruption and lawlessness were so pervasive that examples had to be made. This is one of those times. Handcuffs for Andrew McCabe, Deputy Director of the FBI, the man at the hub protecting Hillary and attempting to destroy Trump.
There you go. They're naming individuals now on they're building. This is what they're going to be doing. I mean, this is like if we check in on this months from now and it went on unabated and it may not have the opportunity to go unabated. It is going to be there's going to be chalkboards. There's going to be names of like low level FBI or Department of Justice people. Like they're going to have like the whole pivot point's going to come on somebody who worked at the commissary in the Department of Justice. I mean, this is all going to go on and on. And this is how they're going. This is how they do it. You know, I had to explain who was it that when we played that Dana Loesch radio interview with Ajit Pai. During the net neutrality fight, like a couple of years ago, she came on and she said something like, they're going to Clinton you. Or no, they're going to foster you or something like that. And I had to explain to people in the office, like what that meant. Like, in other words, Dana Loesch, and I don't know how old she is, but her audience, and I'm sure they're quite old, but nevertheless, in the right wing, they have a whole sort of another history. So, you know, like Howard Zinn has people's history. They have just sort of like right wingers, nut job history.
Demented old man history.
Yes.
Email chains from your aunt that doesn't like Muslims history.
Exactly. And it just sort of outlines this completely different thread of American history. Basically,
that was, of course, after Hillary finished her torrid lesbian affair and right. had Vince Foster murdered for sport. Then Bill Clinton offered the Treasury the communist Chinese, but they said, wait for September 11th because we have a plan with a young man named Obama. That was in 1997.
Who spent many nights in the Lincoln bedroom.
He often
signaled it by saying, Lincoln this, Lincoln that.
He was always talking about Lincoln because that's where he had the orgies with Tom Hanks and the Indonesian ambassador.
And then,
just do it on Rush.
And this actually goes all the way back to when and the slaves came over and said, thank you for the free trip. I've never won anything.
And those were the nice ones. The bad ones knew there was a plan that Barack Obama would be president hundreds of years from now. I tried to warn all of you.
So here is Bob Woodward on with Brian Stetler. Talking about this attempt to summing up, I guess, this entire attempt to begin to, and here's the thing, folks. The way it works now is they don't need to win this argument in the mainstream media. They don't need to win this argument in the conventional media anymore. That's the way it was. That's the way it worked 15, 20 years ago. They would say this stuff, and then guys like Brian Stetler, his version of him, who was actually, what's his face, who's now on Fox.
Kurtz.
Yeah, Howard Kurtz.
Real smart guy.
So the way this would work 15 years ago is the administration would say this, and then Howard Kurtz, on when he was in charge of reliable sources on CNN, would say, this makes sense. Maybe Mueller is really dirty. And that's how they would win. Because all the producers on CNN, all the producers on all the major networks, they would read this from Drudge and then they would repeat it. Now, they don't need to win this argument. Because just like we showed you earlier in the show, when the ethically and follically challenged Frank Luntz asked his members, his Roy Moore voters in his focus group, who here believes that he did anything wrong? Who here believes that the women have been paid to come out and say that Roy Moore targeted me as a young girl
Soros?
To vote? Who here is it? They all, half of them raised their hand because they no longer, they have their own media narrative. So they know they don't have to win this argument in any type of conventional or normal circles because they have a direct conduit to 30 or 40% of the people in this country, and they can feed them a completely different narrative. Here's Bob Woodward.
Carl, you say this is
Carl Bernstein, excuse me.
A cover-up?
Yes, it abets a cover-up because there is a cover-up going on in the White House and among Trump's aides and former aides relating to these investigations. We do not know specifically what the cover-up is about, whether it constitutes an obstruction of justice or a criminal conspiracy at this point, though there's some evidence that suggests it might be the case. But yes, because the commentators that you are hearing and showing there are not open in any way to the best obtainable version of the truth, to facts, to context, who seem to be oblivious to the serial lying of the President of the United States and members of his family and those on his staff and those in the Trump organization. Yes, they are abetting a cover-up. But more important, where we need to go again is the idea of making the conduct of the press the issue, the conduct of the prosecutors the issue, making the conduct of everyone the issue except the President of the United States and those around him, including those who have pleaded guilty already.
That's it. That's basically what they're preparing for. They're preparing for either Mueller to be fired, or they're preparing for Mueller to not get fired and present whatever case it is. Maybe it's about collusion with Russia. Maybe it's just that he has been running, you know, money laundering for decades. Maybe it's obstruction of justice. Whatever it is that Mueller's going to come out with, they are laying the groundwork for Mueller is a fraud. The FBI is a fraud. The intelligence community is a fraud. Everything's a fraud. Everything. All the news is a fraud. That's basically the plan here, and they're and
that's the end point.
They seem like they are, like somebody said, "Hey, you're on a clock here."
And just they're, I think there's no doubt about that. But just also underscore it, and it's a continuum, not an equivalency. But of course, like, and you make this point all the time, but it's always worth underscoring that this is the same thing as we don't accept the CBO scores anymore, and the news is fake, and now an investigation that will reveal, I don't know, let's just say, massive money laundering and connections with global organized crime, not just Russian, Colombian cartels, you know, five families, you name it, fake. It's the same thing, though, that goes to, you know, the
same
Laffer
modus
curve.
Operandi.
Kansas, there's nothing to learn.
The other night when I was saying this when I was on Hayes, where there was a Department of Justice, former Department of Justice official, like, I'm amazed the Republicans are doing this. And it's like, you know what? This is no different than what they were doing before. It's not like they thought, oh, the FBI is sacrosanct. We would never attack the Justice Department. We only attack science. We only attack the idea that trickle-down economics doesn't work. We only attack, activists or people or the voting rights or this and that. No, it's not that. It's not like they saw the FBI as that's national security. We won't cross that line because that's about security of America. No, it's just that they didn't have reason to.
Right.
It just wasn't an issue for them at that time. It was something they were using. They're nihilists.
And if you keep saying you're shocked, I mean, I don't know. You're too credulous to do the job then. I mean, there's basic pattern recognition here.
Yes. Yes. And even like in the context of like the way that Bernstein was saying this to Stettler, like they are, whether they know it or not, hey, they know it. They know they're aiding and abetting. In fact, not only do they know that they're doing it, that's what they write on the invoice.
Right.
That's how they get paid. That's their job. Mike Cernovich may have decided that he was going to go after me because we were making fun of how badly he did on the Alex Jones show, or we were telling too many people of his rape charge that was pled down to a misdemeanor. After apparently Cernovich, my understanding is, may have hired a private investigator to help him convince the victim to lay off.
That's, I did not hear about this before.
That is one of the things we're starting to investigate. But he chose us because we were sort of exposing him and making fun of him, and his feelings got hurt, which I can understand. I was in seventh grade once too.
My feelings were also hurt, which is why I retweeted it.
Yes, I blocked you on
Twitter. I blocked you on Twitter because you questioned my vast foreign policy expertise.
You're never going to get to see my Mustang or be invited to my birthday party.
No one will see.
But the reason why Cernovich was so excited after he had his buddy Jack, paid lackey, look through my tweets and found the word rape, because they did an advanced Twitter search for the word rape and probably a dozen other words. And boy, I feel bad for them if that's the only thing you can find. But the reason why he was so excited about it is because it also attempted to muddy the picture about liberals supposedly being hypocritical when it comes to rape culture and the idea that a 32-year-old man who was a district attorney would be targeting teenage girls. So, I mean, that's what's going on here, folks.
You want a cotton candy? There's Attorney Moore here.
I'm your
assistant. Oh, you're 13? Let me talk to your mom.
You're 16,
driving movie theater without mom.
Exactly. I'm going to ask your ma if you're allowed to have sweets on our date.
Any food allergies? Anything I should know about before a sleepover?
Now, of course, this is the 1970s, where this is all good.
It's totally normal.
Totally normal.
A lot of things were normal back then, like discrimination, like gay people being completely not in polite society. But you know, fucking 13-year-olds, no problemo.
Exactly.
Very healthy time.
We
should return to that.
I spent a lot of time here at family court.
I've seen the whole degradation of the family. You could trace to two things.
Family court's the only place I haven't been banned from. Yeah. So
a lot of chicks at family court. And there's two things that you could trace by observing family court. Number one, the family's degraded ever since the advent of the Civil Rights Act and the collapse of the Negro's ethic. And number two, ever since people got out of people's cases for dating 12, 13, 14-year-old girls, the whole thing's gone to hell. That's why the Muslim gays are coming here.
That's right.
He'd send me to Senate.
I'm telling you right now, if you don't allow me to date 13-year-old girls, before you know it, gays are going to get married.
Oh, now they're married.
Here we go.
Now, if you don't let me get away with dating 13-year-old girls becoming a senator, then all of a sudden we'll stop killing trannies in the street.
All right, folks, we're going to head into the fun half of the program. We've got more Roy Moore stuff. Look at you! Look at that! Look at that! Also, David Clark, civil rights icon. We've got plenty of more stuff to talk about. We'll take your phone calls. We'll take your IMs. I wanted to remind. I should have mentioned this up front, but Matt forgot to tell me. We just realized that during the week that we'll be off, between Christmas and New Year's, we run best ofs. So if you have a nomination for a best of show, and we tend to lean with ones that maybe people didn't hear for whatever reason, or that were earlier in the year. If it's been the past like month, we're less likely to run it. But if you have a best of program that we have done, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. Put best of in the subject line. If you don't put best of in the subject line, we probably won't see it, because right now we're digging out under a lot of emails. If there are YouTube clips, funny moments from Michael, a great phone call, that time I wore that shirt that people thought was silly, whatever it was, you can send a link to those. Maybe we'll put a compilation of those together. If there's one interview that wasn't this past year, but you think it's like the best of the best of,
it haunts your dreams.
Like you wake up in the middle of the morning and go, God.
If anything from the show is haunting your dreams, you should definitely check into that.
Yes. Well, but send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com and write best of in there. You'll help us put together that week's worth of shows. You could always use the help. Also, if you want to become a member of this program, your support is crucial to what we do here. It makes literally all the difference in the world for this program. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. Don't forget, again, justcoffee.coop, 30% off for 4 more days. This is it, folks. Now's the time. Get your 5-pound bags. Justcoffee.coop, 30% off, free shipping at justcoffee.coop. Use the coupon code MRHOLIDAY, MRHOLIDAY. Also, tomorrow night, who's going to be on TMBS tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night on TMBS, Nathan Robinson, the founder of Current Affairs. We're going to be debunking Ben Shapiro and talking about how to talk to the right and right-wing pseudo-intellectualism more broadly. Then there's this guy, a British guy named Dick Coughlin, who is a kind of like pioneer YouTuber. And we're going to talk a little bit about Dave Rubin. He's gotten blocked by Dave Rubin.
Oh, I got blocked from Dave Rubin.
Yeah, we see
you
some opportunity.
I've been meaning to tweet about Dave Rubin.
Yeah, Dave Rubin. It's so funny. The one time in his adult life that's sort of something vaguely tangentially related to what he constantly hyperventilates and catastrophizes about happens.
I never heard from him.
And then he doesn't have anything to say.
No, you know what? I've been meaning to write about Dave Rubin. Was if Dave Rubin had any integrity, he would have spoke up about my situation. And if he had any brains, he would have pretended that he had the integrity to stand up about my situation.
Exactly. Well, as I say, the great thing about Dave Rubin is just the perfect convergence of craven and stupid. So we're going to touch on that. And then in studio for the end of the show, and then for patrons on the post game, Alona Minkowski.
Don't do the whole show.
Alona
Minkowski.
Saying,
give me
that's
a
it.
Teaser of the show, not three the guests. Whole
I'm just
show right well,
there's
now.
A whole bunch more.
Oh, my God.
That you're not even getting.
All right, folks, going to head into the fun half. The number is 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. We will take your IMs. I know that AIM is out, but you can pick up the app at majorityapp.com to IM the show. See you in the fun half.